Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Children, they messed up.
Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and you are at the right place at the right time. Happy New Year to one and all. May it truly be one that is blessed. Peace and health and prosperity and unity and happiness. I say that kind of solemnly, and I'm sure you know why, because this program, albeit the first of the year, is in the wake of, a tragedy of sorts, and so first and foremost, I send my true, deep, heartfelt sympathy for all those family members and loved ones of those who lost their lives yesterday. Truly a tragedy. Unfortunate situation. I know the pundits, I mean mainstream media, have so much to say. I avoided the majority of any of it, left, right, middle, because it's all being spun a thousand different ways. In most cases, most people have found something that they can attach to, whether you're left or right or middle. So for my new listeners, welcome to this format we refer to over the last 10 years as Progressive News Weekly. Henceforth, we're really hedging on referring to our programming as productive news, because you see that term progressive is just being so misused and abused. So here on Productive News Weekly, we take pride in bringing you what we like to and do in our true belief, bring you information that's unbiased, not influenced by political or business interest or personal interest. Close as we can get to strictly the facts without bringing opinion. It may not align with the left, which is liberal, you have to think about it, or the right, which is conservative, Republican or Democratic, or even those independent political parties, the Green Party and Libertarian Party and Socialist Party, all the others. We here and those of us who do our research, although we are human, and it's not always easy, we try to sever our personal feelings from what we bring to you, the listener. We bring you this information with the objective of enlightening you and encouraging you. And naturally, knowledge is power. So empowering you, uplifting you, motivating you. Important as anything. Encouraging you to get involved and make a difference. To talk to your family and your loved ones and your colleagues and your co-workers and the like. Then give them another perspective. The goal for us to be a unified, not just household, community, country, or society, but to be balanced within yourself, because it all starts with us. And so week in and week out, at this time on Thursday evenings, and we've been doing this over 10 years, and we weren't always on Thursdays, we've been on Mondays, we've been on Wednesdays. Even at one point, we're airing on Sundays for a very short time. I tried out something about 8 years ago. And so, truly appreciative that you've taken the time out to tune in this evening. As we, whatever the topic is, attempt to bring someone who is knowledgeable, respected, and also non-biased to whatever the subject matter is. And we'd like to encourage you to bring us topics and or guests that would enlighten you, the listeners, around the world, most often within our United States, but we cross many borders, and we do have international listeners. And that goal is just for us to come together with an uncommon discourse. Again, it may not be something that we want to hear. Often I don't want to hear even, but something that we need to hear. In order for our society to be more grounded. And so this evening, we do have a special guest, which ties in with what we're going to discuss, which is moving forward. Moving forward productively. Moving forward productively. In a good way. As I said, as I opened, what took place yesterday, it's going to be very challenging for most folks to not be bombarded by one perspective or another. I know the 80% mainstream, we've seen it, perused it. And then the non-mainstream as well. This isn't the time to blame, I believe. The punter or the field goal kicker. Oh, I understand that there are many that want to say, oh, our president. So many perspectives. There's so many. Open your mind up to the broad array of them, not just the majority, on mainstream. not just the majority, on mainstream. Not just the majority on mainstream. Because if we went with that, if we went with the majority of the mainstream, as broad as it may be, we might be looking through a peephole picture. No, we all have a burden to bear on this. Yes, we all of us. Because the mainstream doesn't represent what I'm often asked, and I'm asked almost every day. I talk to a lot of people, as you can imagine, so many, in email, text, all those other, Facebook, all, and so often I get the question, Daryl, how does 75 million consider this guy, this president? Maybe they see something that you don't see. That's my general answer. It's a lot of people. You can't convince me that half the nation is evil. You would never convince me of that. And I pray that our listeners, those who tune in, would not have such a cynical perspective. So the mainstream, the 90% of what we're bombarded with, those who are on a specific agenda. There is an agenda, of course, because they're all obviously linked. And this isn't the time to talk about that agenda, and there will be times in the future. History will reveal itself. I'm old enough to remember those who vilified Martin Luther King. In my own community, boy, he's a rebel. He's starting this stuff. People were killed. But history always corrects itself. It's like they say time heals, time reveals. And I do believe it will as well now. It's going to reveal even the agenda. We are in revolutionary times. Talking about it, and I'm going to end it on this. Because I don't like to do the I told you so. But there's two sides to every coin. Because it doesn't flip your way, doesn't mean that the coin has a problem. It just means there's another side. And when we're able, that bullet, as my dad used to say, and I never understood that for years, and just say, okay, there is another side. I got to understand that. It's just that I'm so convinced about mine. And history always proves itself. Then we'll understand why 75 million, and maybe more, because we really don't know. And there's been no other time in history. That's unquestioned, regardless of left, right, wing, political party, whatever. No one's disputing. There's never been anything like what's occurred in the history of these United States. And guess what? We're alive to see it. Because in 80 years, when most of us are gone, history will reveal itself. Yeah, folks, we're going to be gone in about 80 years. I'm saying, I'm giving us 80. I don't know what they're going to come out with. I know I've done a lot of studies and self-sustaining. I don't even want to tell you how many natural health studies that I've been involved in with PhDs from around the country regarding longevity. So, yeah, it's possible, folks. You know, we may go 100, 120. Very, very possible. But in 80 to 90, that I'm not saying, but it's possible. But we're more than likely 99.9% chance we ain't going to be here forever. And the chances are there'll be those that will be around, barring some catastrophic. And then I believe there'll still be those around very potentially, unless the God that I serve says, you know, I'm taking out the universe. But, yeah, they're already planning for space stations and societies on other planets. That's another whole topic. So looking at the real broad picture here, this country was founded on revolution. No one wants to be disenfranchised. And if you're objective, you see, I'm just objective. I am not Republican in any way. Not ashamed to say that. But what I have become in the last 10 years, especially, I've had a heart of this prior to, as I look back, I was innately this way going back 50 years, as I've always been that different one in the group, even when I was in gangs. With Daryl, as they would say. But especially in the last 10, when I've been very much aware, 10 to 15 years. I'm not one to just go along with, which is why I never really joined the fraternity. Oh, there were a few. Q's. You know, I always thought about I had good friends, good close friends there. A few alphas. For you, for those of you who don't understand, those are fraternities at the college level. And I was very hesitant to even join civic organizations. And now I'm very much more concerned about that, except for my own foundation, which is open to all. So now I'm at the point where I've begun to see as best I can, and I work at it every single day, truthfully, to not look at life through blinders. In other words, the blinder of the Republican view, or the blinder of the Democratic view, or the blinder of libertarian view. That's not easy, folks. It's not, especially with the peer pressures. Now, as we get older, we should be more mature to withstand peer pressure. Yeah, right. But it exists. Maybe even more, because your peers are more entrenched in what they believe in as we get older. And so to not have allegiance to any particular ideology. And with that, I've had folks who are around me, and I don't speak much to that in certain circles like work. I completely sever any political or religious conversation from work. I've learned that 30 years ago. Advise anyone to do the same. You don't, it's like crapping where you're eating. You just don't do it. I've had folks ask me, why don't you speak, you know, from one side or another? Because no one side is right. The only right that I know, the only, and I don't even like using the term right, but truth, real truth, is the divine. And I can't fathom that because I don't know that. And so, yeah, I've had folks approach me today. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame what Trump did? And I just say I don't really wish to comment on that. Because my focus is on those who lost their lives, not on those who want to push an agenda. Yeah, that's pushing an agenda to say that's what you're blaming. The field goal kicker. I've learned not to do that. Oh, it's not easy because I root for the Cleveland Browns. That's my team, has been since I was in the crib and always will be till my last breath. And by the way, go Browns. I know everybody thinks they're going to lose to the Steelers, which they might because they'll be underhanded. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I've learned not to blame. Because you know what? That quarterback threw three interceptions in the first quarter, which turned around for touchdowns. And I'm going to blame a field goal kicker. So I'm going to blame Trump when we had questionable election. And folks are hurt about that. It's not just, for most, it's about the fact that their candidate lost. I say their. I'm just trying to be outside of the whole thing. No side, left, right, just stepping back and looking at the whole thing. And I see people disenfranchised. That's when people say, how did 75,000 people vote for that man? I say, maybe you don't know what they know. And then I have people that may ask me from the other side, these guys, they why don't they see it? It's not why don't they see it. It's why do they see this perspective that's being bombarded at them everywhere they turn. They turn on the mainstream media. Some people don't have anything but the major networks. So what are they going to get? As soon as this event happened, within an hour, they were saying, we should remove Trump immediately, go in, take him out of the White House. So take one mob and replace it with another. But what about the people that died during the riots this year? It's endorsed. It's a fact. Do your homework. I'm on this computer night and day. I get 3 hours of sleep. So I've done a lot of homework. So I'm talking from truth. And I love it when the listeners call in. I had a listener say, well, you know, that's the way it is, basically, because I know a guy that, you know, did something wrong, and everyone knew he did it wrong, but he got away with it. Yeah. Doesn't make it right. So it's unquestionable that this election thing was questionable. And there's so much information. This censorship thing? Do your homework, folks. Do your homework. We're being censored. And it is China-like. Now, everything around you is made in China. And if you're okay with that, God bless you. Feel okay with that. That's me, from my limited knowledge, my background in business and degrees in economics, and that's just telling me, and has for the last 30 years, thing that's gone awry there. There's some background things churning for that to occur. When 80% of your product is produced by a communist country that engages in the infringement of human rights, do your homework and look at how many people have deep investments in that in our government. You might be surprised. And that's when you start putting the dots together and say, why are we being censored? Why isn't that we can't find out about these Dominion machines? Why won't they do any investigation on them? Why is it that we can't see what was on the Hunter Biden laptop? Why is it? Why can't we get that information? Why won't the FBI do an investigation? Just look at it. There's a reason. And I'm not blaming the kicker. Because I'm going all the way back to what's led up to this. You can't abuse, regardless of how much leverage you think you have. Because you're the majority. And where I am right now in my life, I won't abuse it. I'm blessed in many cases to have the opportunity to be in that majority. but I'm not with it. I don't want to be a part of that. I've been blessed to have done my wrong, seen it, repent from it daily, continually, move on from that. I'm not jumping on any bandwagons. So I don't deal with the CNN, MSNBC, Fox stuff. And I encourage you just to do your homework. And this year, I'm cutting ties. I'm cutting ties. I appreciate those who are listening right now, whoever you are. That means you're open-minded. Because I've said some things that I'm sure some people hung up on already and just said, you know what, he's not talking what I want to hear. He's not talking what Don Lemon is talking about. He's not talking about what Cuomo's brother is talking about. He's not talking what I want to hear. I don't want to hear his rhetoric. Good, you have choices. Nope, I'm not. I'm not talking that. I'm not talking what you're going to turn on the 7 o'clock news and hear necessarily. No, I'm going to talk about why is it that 90% of all media is not willing to look at the obvious. And so I'm going to end my monologue today with prayerfully, there'll be an enlightenment, a true enlightenment, and an understanding. This isn't about an individual. This is about individuals behind the curtain. And the sooner that we're willing to do some work, Dick Gregory would say, it's right there. Just open up your computer. God bless you, Dick. The things that you have told me are truly coming to pass. You know, he lived in D.C., and he told me all of this. So, I just hope that can move on. I believe that there's going to be lessons learned. Those who want him removed immediately have a reason for it. This man exposed so much that he wasn't supposed to. He truly was an independent, wasn't he? He really wasn't a Republican. He was the first politician I ever saw that even mentioned something related to reparations. He said, let's give African Americans. There's been no other president in the history of the United States. And I'll tell you, there were Republicans cringing when he said that. Mitch McConnell being one of them. Old school Republicans and old school Democrats. Left wing, right wing, same bird. He stepped on a lot of toes. And the only reason the Republicans stuck with him because they feared him, because the people said, this guy's talking something different here. Talking about cleaning up the swamp. Ever was a swamp that he revealed a swamp, folks. There was some swampy, nasty stuff that we're all dealing with. So my question, especially to my African-American listeners, is why are we so gullible? I said we, as I'm African-American, but I see only because I've been blessed. But others have the opportunity to see. I've been blessed. I tell you, I've been blessed when I started this radio program, when Dick Gregory said, Darryl, I'm going to reveal some stuff to you. I don't want you to tell it until it's time, but it'll come a time when you'll be ready. Amiri Baraka. Those were the two that started me on this journey. You tell me that's not a blessing. It wasn't too many days in those first 3 years that I didn't talk with both of them. So there's a lot behind the curtain that I will not reveal in detail because, like he said, it's not time. You got to give it to them almost in parables and pray to tell me about Donald. I call him Don because Dick knew all these people. So no, when Dick said, Don is stepping out on his own. He knew what he was talking about. I said, but he's Republican. He said, no, they know. Remember, everybody, y'all remember Trump? Remember he used to hang out with Al Sharpton and Oprah Winfrey? Y'all, look it up. Clinton. He hung out with those. He said, you know what? I'm not doing this. I see what's going on. And they said, you can step out if you want to. Y'all heard of the Bilderbergers. Illuminati. Y'all heard of these societies. Come on. Y'all know what happened with Michael. Prince, Whitney, y'all know innately. You may not know from the details. If you do your homework, you'll find that out, but y'all know. So history will reveal itself, and folks are afraid, and that's why they want to remove him immediately. And what happened yesterday, it ain't even what it appeared to be. How about that one? So this evening, folks, now that I put enough little mysterious carrots out there for you, this evening we still have Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, if he's going to be joining us. Let me check. Yes, so as I was saying, I'm not blaming the kicker, you know, the one that misses the field goal at the end and everyone says, oh, yeah, it was him, and they really never liked the kicker anyway. But forget the interceptions that were thrown in the first quarter and the fumbles that the running back did on the third quarter. And listen, folks, what happened yesterday is truly, and I wouldn't dare lower myself to try to blame one person for that. When you look back on 2020 and all the things, the riots, you know, there were people that died in those riots. And there were people that were saying, yeah, they need to get out and protest. And what? So what about them? Did their lives not matter? You're talking about Black Lives Matter? I'm not trying to belittle. I'm black. I love my race. No one would dispute that if they know me and they see how freely I speak about it. But yes, all lives matter. And yes, I do believe blacks are significantly disenfranchised. But folks, let's be careful before we vilify, because there's always an agenda when you're talking politics. So this is the same man that they've been trying to get out of office since he came in office 4 years ago. Why would you think the sharks wouldn't truly attack now? Well, let's get rid of, because he was going to reveal a lot of things that were going on, and he indeed did. He indeed did. Especially when it came to some of our foreign relations. It was interesting because I'm going to close on this because we have Dr. Mendoza in the wings and we're going to talk about moving forward. Because remember I said that's going to be a theme that we're going to have tonight, and then I started talking about this. But it's so passionate in my heart when I see agendas and I see so clearly. It's as though I have on those glasses. The name of the movie, folks, is They Live. Remember I've been talking about this, and I talk about this for years, how there was a movie when you put on the glasses and you can see it, you see the aliens. And I said, I can't remember the name, but it's the name of the movie is They Live. And some of you saw it. And the guy is walking down, and he picks up the glass, he sees his glasses in the garbage can, he puts them on, and he sees the aliens. And eventually they realize that he can see them. The movie The Invaders, or the series. So anyway, folks, I pray that this year we all put on our They Live glasses and we can see through this minutia and truly not vilify any one of us. You know, they say don't point the fingers when the thumb's coming back. Michael Jackson said it so articulately. It's about the man in the mirror. What are we doing to make a difference? And the one thing we can do is not to that rhetoric. That's the one thing that we can do, and it'll spread like wildfire. You'd be surprised. So how do we move forward? As I said, I've been so blessed in my lifetime, and I believe it's no coincidence, and to have relationships with individuals like Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, Dick Gregory, very controversial to some extent, but took me in, helped me to start this program. And there are others remarkable minds, and some not so famous as a Master Glenn or a Dick Gregory or others, Dr. Joy DeGruy. But they saw something there. Maybe I didn't even see it myself. And now it's not easy to just take a neutral stance, start some learning with me. And that's why I so appreciate Master Glenn. I've learned so much from this man who was truly a heart-given, humanitarian, people-loving individual who himself, I'm sure, would acknowledge has been blessed. I mean, for him to be chosen to carry on such a mantle. And he often talks about his master, and which I respect. So for those of you who have hung on with my monologue that went on, we do have Master Glenn, Dr. Glenn Mendoza. Let's keep those who lost their lives in prayer caught up in the rhetoric, folks. It just exacerbates the problem. Let's stay neutral and do what we can. So with that said, we have Master Glenn on the line with us. Oh, we did. Let me see if we have him back. Was on the line. Let's try it again. See if we have him. All right. Okay. I think Master Glenn is with us. Master Glenn?
Yes. Had that right.
Oh, I thought we had lost you. Okay. Well, yeah, folks, we have the one and only Dr. Glenn Mendoza.
I think your topic is more apropos, more timely than that's very good. That's what I'm saying.
Master Glenn, you know, in the years past, you've helped many individuals, and I know this for a fact because of the worksheet that you shared. And many have said, Darryl, this thing's really, you know, helped me. And it's a perspective of moving forward. And so when we spoke earlier, I said, Master Glenn, you know, this is the beginning of a year, and there's so much. And I know you, as part of moving forward, you talk about, you know, looking backwards, but not living back there, but utilizing that. So I'm saying all that to say, I'm going to hand this mic over to you, and however long you have, and I apologize sincerely to Master Glenn because I did do an extended monologue, but my passion, my heart, it bleeds for what happened yesterday and those that lost their lives. It's not for the vilification of someone or someone's. Either side, because I could vilify, you know, Democrats and say it's, you know, it's just their much their fault for letting this thing get out of hand and not being willing to acknowledge what was obvious, and people are upset, and those 78 million or 80 million that feel like they were disenfranchised have just as much a right to be angry as those 80 million who feel like the person who's in office, the existing president, was wrong. Wait a minute, let's cut all of this out. Who am I to say? You know, that's written somewhere, right? That he, without sin, throw this first stone. So with that, Master Glenn, with your the wisdom that you embody, I know it ain't going to be easy, but give us a synopsis from your perspective, who I look up to, you know, of yesterday, and then lead us into how do we go into 2020. The mic is yours. However much time, if you have 10 minutes, it's yours. If you can come back next week, I will preempt the next four programs I have for you because I was table. So however much time you have, it's yours, Master Glenn.
Oh, thanks, Darryl. I really feel that your listeners would probably find it timely, the things that you're talking about. There are some things that we can talk about at some point in time, but I have a feeling what is happening is that it's very important to our country, and I think we could, you've been a voice of reason and a voice of conscience. You're the conscience of how people would feel, but at the same time not polarizing. That's how I feel. So, I think, and what, you know, when the topic is really very important for all of us, to give you an idea, like yesterday, I was driving up to upstate New York, and I didn't know what happened. I knew I have a meditation group that I have to lead at 6 o'clock, then at 8 o'clock. Before 6 o'clock, when I arrived here, they said, do you know what's happening in our country? I said, somebody called me and said, I don't know. You know, there's a riot in Washington. And I said, I don't know. I said, the only thing I can do, I said, listen, we have a meditation. So the meditation group of probably a couple of hundreds of people, I said, listen, and these are coming from different parts of the world. And I said, listen, why don't you help me just bless the United States? This is our intentions of our meditation. Then in the 8 o'clock, I said that same thing. I got a little bit what was happening. And I told them we were close to around 500 at that time now. And I said, why don't we just bless the United States? This is our intention. So in times of uncertainty, and 2020 was a time of uncertainty, and these are times of uncertainties. These are a spillover of that unprecedented, unknown, and unpredictable times. And I think we just have to ask ourselves, why is this happening, and what can we do? That kind of thing.
I love the combination. Why is this happening? But let's not forget, what can we do? Wow. Simple, yet profound. What can we do? And that's what I was, you know, what I was talking about. You know, what can we do? And that's where I segued actually to you to say, you know, how do we move forward? How do we move forward, Pastor Glenn? You know, some are being indoctrinated with, you know, this is wrong. You know, it was his fault, or you know, it was their fault, and, you know, polarizing type language. So how do we individually move forward in all this minutia that's around us?
I think we just look for, you see, I feel that something bad or something not good has to happen to see us what is good. Something. So I always look at for something that is positive and good. You know, if it, look, of course there was an assault on our country and our bulwark of democracy. But if it did not happen, probably it wouldn't have woken us all up.
You know, Dr. Mendoza, you've said something profound there. I mentioned earlier before you were on that this is revolutionary. You know, there's nothing greater than a person willing to give their life. These folks are willing to give their lives. And I was saying earlier that folks ask me sometimes, because I refuse to comment politically, especially at work, and I've learned that 30 years ago. I don't bring religion, and I don't bring politics at work, and anyone that tries to get me involved in that conversation, I remove myself. And anyone that knows me now, they know they don't even bridge me in those conversations, and I usually walk away. Yet, still folks will ask me, Daryl, what's wrong with those people? How could they support that crazy man, Trump? And my natural response is, maybe they know something or see something that you don't. I mean, yours is not the only human perspective on this planet. Do you? Are you willing to understand that? Even an ant has a perspective. I'm just saying, Dr. Pastor Glenn, some people just seem to can't fathom that there's other perspectives, and 80 million people can't all be wrong, can they? And if they in their hearts believe something strong enough, they're willing to give their lives for that. And in this democracy, some people really believe in that. And with some of the information in this information age that's been revealed, there's a major water main break. I heard it with my own ears. I'm not trying to be pro-Trump, and I'm tired of saying that, and I'm going to stop saying it. I heard there was a water main break. Do you know it was a toilet that overflowed? That's not going to make me, and I'm not saying I'm a Trump supporter, but if I were, I can see their eyes. What makes a person so angry that they want to do harm when they're hurt? I've experienced it in my youth. Someone tells you, we had to stop the voting, and then they show videos, ballots being run over and over and over, and that you sit and watch that, that's like seeing your child slapped in the face. That's not something to make it questionable. There's no one around. I can't even fathom the excuse for that. And then the media refused to cover it, but they want to say that there's blood on this president's hands. I mean, I could understand why someone would say, no, the blood is on these people's hands who ran those things three times and dismissed everyone and came back. And the mass media, 80%. So, yeah, these are revolutionary times. These are revolutionary times when hopefully folks can step back breath and say, what are they thinking about? Then what is Daryl talking about? He says, maybe I don't see something that they see. Oh, if you only watch one channel, you wouldn't necessarily see those ballots running again and again and again, and you wouldn't necessarily hear the line about the toilet that actually overflowed. You wouldn't hear about the Dominion machines that truly have internet access remotely. You wouldn't hear those, but you're just being indoctrinated by one side. You wouldn't hear about the truck that was left in Pennsylvania and there was over 100,000 ballots in it and disappeared the next day. And it came out of New York. You wouldn't hear. And then you say, how can these 75 million people? So what can we do to help ourselves? Those who are on this line now, they're at least open-minded enough to listen. Dare say there are some that are pro-Trump and some that are pro-Biden and some that are just neutral. But they're listening, and you have their ears, Master Glenn.
I think we find stability. We have to find stability. We have to find clarity. We cannot, if we are emotionally affected, of course there is some emotion. There'll be some emotion what's happening. But we should find stability and find clarity. That's what we wanted to do. And my personal feeling, I don't really care what they think, why they think, why are people blinded? Why are people acting when it's so obvious that they should not? I should strengthen my resolve that I could find stability, priority, and committing myself that I would look for clarity within myself. If I feel that way, then I will sort of gather energies with the same thinking that I have, and I'll find stable friends who won't overreact. And after that, we can make good relationship decisions. Does it make sense? Because we could right now, I think everybody's so emotional. It's interesting. Like people will be so emotional, and if you are too emotional, we won't make a sound judgment. It's like having an angry person trying to find love or forgiveness when you're angry. Find calmness first, find stability within oneself, make it a top priority at this time. Then you will find stable friends who think likewise. The others, if they think that way, they think that way. If they're opposite, they're opposite. I always feel that ultimately things will, it sometimes energies, God, I hate to use God's way, but sometimes we cannot see it, but there are other purposes, the other energies that are working that we may not be aware of. It will only make us very strong if we could see that we are far apart. And that's what the oxymoron about the 2020 is. We are lonely, but we are with people. We are alone, but we are together. And it's happening out there. People are not used to that kind of energy, and people will react negatively. But I have a feeling was that we should find stability and create that stability in this uncertain times.
Where do we find the stability?
Within ourselves first.
Ooh.
We can't find stability. Very difficult to find stability.
Wow.
Okay?
Within self first.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it all starts. That where meditation, for example, can assist with gaining stability.
Yes, I think that's what it's. It will not gaining stability, but it will remove the negative energies within us, the stress, the disappointment, the negative emotions. That's the first step.
So you need to remove the negative emotions before even attempting to gain stability.
Mm-hmm.
The two are separate. They're different. Having stability and removing the negative emotions.
And if our thinking and approach is right, the decisions and things will be okay.
That makes sense. That, this is logical. If your thinking is fine, there is a road to stability.
Do you remember what we said? What we had with social media, the press, all of them, they're manipulating us. And I think with what happened yesterday, they're still manipulating us. So if we feel that we're being manipulated, hey, I have to find stability. If I'm being manipulated, this is a polarizing, of course, this is a polarizing situation. I will need to be part of that. I will find stability within myself, how I think, how I feel, my values, how what's important to me. Violence is not part of my DNA, then that's out. So people who have violence said, I think I'm against that. I'll find the stability within myself. Then there you find clarity. It's
clarity.
It's like bringing in cooler heads, you know, cool the jets first, then you'll find some clarity. Comment.
Cooling the head. I like that. I like that because, you know, you've heard the term hot-headed.
Mm-hmm.
Within that whole term is the implication of anger and instability, hot-headed. Yeah.
We've discussed this before. People, and I've looked into this because I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Daryl. I wanted to bring the meditation into prisons. The meditation might help the people in prison, and it's been a known fact. I've looked into bringing it to Rikers Island. There was some movement. Some people have brought it in a small prison. I've spoken to a psychiatrist just in charge of a huge area of prisons, and I said, I'd like to bring this. I said, Glenn, it's just a little difficult because there's a lot of political fallover, political sides and religious. Anyway, the point I'm saying was that because if I said my theory is that there's a big number of people in prison, if you ask them what happened, why did you do it? And I have a feeling was that a majority of them will say, I don't know. And he says, Master Glenn, you want to know my answer? 99% do not know. So if this, in the heat of stuff, in anger and violence, people don't know what they've done. And I have a feeling was that the people who have incited this riot and violence, maybe they'll come about. I don't know what happened to me. Hope it's a good, positive thinking so people will recognize that they're wrong.
So hot-headedness, just the term, can imply, and I don't like using the term, and I said it specifically for a reason because I didn't want to say the next thing, but I'm going to say it anyway, a sense of temporary insanity. In other words, you said, they said, I don't know why. Is that like, you know, does not anger, I used to say this, kind of parallel a sense of insanity? Because you're not thinking, what is insanity? Is, you know, from the simple definition I've always thought, and I only took my one or two courses in college, but is it like not having conscious thought or being able to think rationally?
I think that temporary insanity is the legal word that your defense attorney will use.
I lost my temper. I was temporarily insane.
Yeah.
Don't
sir,
make me laugh
you,
like
you
this.
You shot
please.
Him. You killed the guy. What happened? Oh, it's temporary insanity. I just want to let you know. I burned
Listen,
hundreds of people. Oh, it's temporary insanity.
This is
you know?
The candid Dr. Master Glenn that we so often hear occasionally. That's a good one.
So just making lightness of everything, so it's fine.
Laughter's good, but there's that you make a good point. You do. I defer. You make sense there. Yeah. You can't just fall back on that. Sure. No, I agree because you know it has its extremes. You know, but in a sense, when you're depending on the degrees, the determination of, you know, how insane you temporarily get. But yeah, if you get angry enough, I mean, how many times do we say things in our angry anger?
Look what happened. Just by laughing, it relieves the air of tension.
It really does. Yes, it does. I hope our listeners got a laugh out of that.
Yeah. So, listen, I'm a doctor, so I guess apologies to the lawyers who are listening, but it was just temporary insanity. Is one we don't use, we don't want to use, but our defense lawyer will use it for us.
Yes, and we actually do have one or two attorneys that I know that listen in. They'll probably be listening on the archives. Hopefully, they'll get a laugh out of this.
Yeah, it's good.
But I hope our listeners will get a laugh. I think we all have experienced anger. Dr. Mendoza is calm and clear. Can I put you on the spot? I'm going to do it anyway. You can just tell me whatever. Have you ever gotten angry?
Yes, I get angry.
I put you on the spot.
You could get angry. I could get angry, but this one, I really, from yesterday, for whatever reason, I seem to be calm. At 5:30 in the morning, reading what's happening, I said, "Wow, that's terrible." Then I said, "Let me sleep through it." Exactly what I'm saying. I'm being manipulated, but there's emotion into it. I said, oh, "I think everything that let's look at the positive things. People are waking up. I think people will start to realize that." It's like in a family. You think something is wrong. You think nobody could do that, but ultimately you find some result that things will happen. You know, resolution.
You think people will begin to realize?
I would hope so. Because that's the right thing to do.
Is it because of the nature of what has occurred? You mentioned earlier that, you know, sometimes things have to happen in order for there to be the salient moment for people to just stop.
Go ahead.
Yeah. For people to just stop and say, whoa, my eyes have opened. What concerns me there is that you have a segment that takes that scenario and manipulates the scenario. I mean, that is what they do. That could be a profession. It's part of what their whole existence.
Yeah.
Example, the media. You know, my job is to find an extreme circumstance and exploit it. That's my job. And the unknowing individual who's kind of the victim, that's the, 80% of the public, don't know that. They just are a victim of the emotion that's being directed at them intentionally. So as much as there is this salient moment that happens, which has the potential to make people just stop and say, wait a minute, let's just stop this. At the same time, when they've opened their and cleared their slate, here comes that media slamming the slate with as much garbage and minutia and filth and blinding them all over again. So where does that clearing happen?
You said it. That's their nature. I remember a story of a teacher who has looking at the scorpion and keep on putting his finger, and the scorpion will start to sting it, and he pulls it back. Then he does it several times. He said, "Why do you keep on doing it?" I said, "Just want to let you know the nature of the scorpion is to sting." So the same way of people who manipulate, their nature is to manipulate. You just have to be, once there's clarity, he said, I just have to avoid these people. It's up to us, or we'll be a victim of them because that's their nature. I said, that's the nature of this person. In fact, a person lies, that's the nature of the person. You just have to avoid the person. At least that's my thinking. So there's some people we avoid. Mm-hmm. There's some people we don't avoid. There's some people we listen to. There's some people we do selective hearing. Period. I think everything will come to. I think you'll see it in the next couple of days. When emotions start to. Right now there is a vitriol. Is it vitriol? Is there like emotions in the words that come out? Later on, when the emotions start to stop, the mind will start to, it makes sense. Let's see. That's just my sense. And I hope I'm right.
I really hope you're right. And I can imagine that happening. And I believe there's some energy in that. I mean, the imagination, you know, that old saying, if you can conceive, you can believe, and it will be achieved. And I believe a lot of things I do start with the imagination. I mean, you teach us a lot of that in pranic healing and what you call intent. And we go forward with that good intent, that productive intent. And that's where, you know, I'd like to try to encourage our listeners to be change agents, if you will, to understand what we're talking about, to help to germinate this kind of energy and mindset. And that's why I especially wanted you to join us and give us some guidance with that. If for the last half an hour or so, or 30 or 40 minutes that we've been talking, if nothing else came of that, but that one thing, I think that's very, very, very valuable to say. If we're aware, it starts with us, then maybe, just maybe, we might influence one more, or maybe two, maybe 10. And guess what? Maybe they'll influence. And is that not the energy that you speak of, Master Glenn?
Yes. Yes. Listen, we can do this kind of things in a communist country. Cannot do this in...
Okay.
But we can be
talk
able
with
to
us.
Do this. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
You're going into deeper waters.
I think we're still. We could still talk. We could still speak, and our minds. So that's a good sign. Not a lot of people will be able to do it.
Wow. That's profound again. A lot of what's going on couldn't happen in communist countries. I am concerned about the censorship, though, and where that might lead to in this country. I hope folks are ever increasingly more aware of that. Mr. Glenn, give us a synopsis, if you will. I know it's gotten a little bit late, of moving forward, of that that mapping that you that you've shared with us over the years. You shared with me. You've shared with some of our listeners.
What happened was that I think the key is that we can only move forward, but if we are clear of what we have in the past. We do it during the last month of the year, wherein we looked at especially now with the year that could, we don't know what happened in 2020. I think all of your listeners, all of us across the world, we have lessons we learned from the coronavirus. It was not a cultural, it was not a racial, it was not a country, It's not a group of people. It's all of us have our own lessons, each and every one. Babies who are born, weddings that were made. In the coronavirus, it affected the whole fabric of our being, wherever you live. And you look at that, and I think I advise your listeners to look at the lessons learned, not only what we're talking about yesterday, what happened in Washington, D.C., but what did 2020, yesterday was just part of it. And what have we learned? What are the lessons learned? What are the accomplishments that we've done? What are the failures that we made, the mistakes that we made? And in moving forward to 2021, is once you do that, you said, oh, what are my goals? So planning, looking back, now that we have an understanding of what it is, now we move forward. And we move forward and we bless it. We look at our plans. If you don't have any plans, it's like I told somebody, you just don't go to a plane. He said, where are you going, Mr. Darrell Clark? I don't know. Sir, this plane goes to San Diego, California. So you have to, before you go to a plane, they already have to know that you're going to San Diego, California. You just don't go board a plane with no direction. So you have to know what your goals are, and focus on them for 2021. That's it.
So they talk about resolutions and, I'm not going to do a resolution because you never, accomplish them. You've heard that old saying. But what you're saying is
we still have to. People who do, I think those are just ways for you to listen to me. I said, oh, your resolution doesn't work. But we all make it. Because it's a wishful thinking. It's a wish. Any wish will be doing that. Of course, but you write it down. There's some ways to do it, not only plan it, but you have to read. You know why we need resolution? Resolution, because we want something done. We resolve that we want something done for our lives. I resolve that I'll stop the addiction that I have. I resolve that I'll be not lazy. I'll resolve that I'll be working harder, something like that. So we program our whole body, that kind of thing.
So resolutions are good as long as they go beyond the visionary dream into the stage of planning with specific goals. And goals with specific plans. As you say, it's really important that they're written down.
Yeah, I that's what I've been doing the past couple of days. Number one, I was looking at the things and start writing them down. In the middle of the night, I realized I forgot something else. To give you an idea, like I was trying to learn Italian at one point, then I started to learn Chinese. Then I, in the middle of the night, I said, oh, I was learning Chinese, but I didn't pursue it. So I woke up and wrote it down. The things that I've been doing is my suggestion to everybody, to things that you have to do on a physical level, emotional level, mental level, spiritual level. These are the things that we have to do. Some people are focused on, how much money am I going to make? That's okay. Oh, I want to make sure that my relationships are strong. That's okay. You prioritize it. I think it's just prioritizing it.
Writing them down would be the key. What about being specific? Do you want to just be general?
The spheres of life. I call it the spheres of life. The wheel of life or whatever they call it, like we have a physical. What's our physical? I have to lose weight. So that's a resolution. I have to lose weight. What do I do then? I have to do exercise, regular exercise. Now that the gyms are closed, what do I do? What substitute I do? I have to meditate more. Then I have to get to whatever doctor's appointment, make myself, if people who have specific problems, do what you need to do medically. then do it in an emotional. Who are the people that I, you know, that I care for, that I have to take care of, my family, my loved ones, how to communicate with them, how to increase my connection with them, my children, grandchildren. Then mental, how do I do mental aerobics, calisthenics to make my mind sharp? How do I serve other people with the knowledge that I have? Then the spiritual aspect, how do I meditate? How do I get the services? How do I serve a philanthropic and charitable organizations? Each one of us has that. And how do I improve myself? I told you, I said some people have done that. A lot of people started painting. I started doing sketching. Despite my busy things, I have the sketching thing that I started working on. And you know, I have to just make time for it in some form. That's it. It's like it's easy, but somebody has to start, because we know it's a new year, it's a new cycle, and you don't want to repeat last year a copycat of this. This one should be better. I think the bottom line is that how do I make myself a better person? And you look at your facets of your life to make you a better person.
Yeah, I think that's where there's value in reflecting on those things that didn't go so well. If you don't acknowledge those, I think you might be destined to repeat them. And I think it's important, as you emphasize, to make a point of those things, not to wallow in them, but just to highlight and mark them down sort of as markers to avoid for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's important because we can overlook them. You mentioned yourself that you woke up in the middle of the night and said, oh, there was something I forgot. So I think it's important if we don't mark them and highlight them that they could slip in on us again if we're not aware of those things. It's a new year. It's a new cycle. Don't make the same mistakes. Build on the accomplishments. It's kind of what I'm getting in a summary of what you're saying and
yes.
what you've seen you do in the past with us. And it's a good model to follow. So, folks, you've heard it. You've got the basics. Unless there's pressing questions, of course you can press 1 on the dial. But we've been blessed to have Dr. Masklin Mendoza, world renowned for his acumen and approach to health and wellness, master pranic healer, one of only a few in the world. So we've been blessed here to open this year up. Dr. Master Glenn Mendoza's new book, Spiritual Truths, Explore, Discover, and Understand the Deeper Meaning of Sacred Wisdom. I encourage you all to go to Amazon, look the book up. You'll find there when you do that, that the book prior to that, Better Person Mindset, will be listed. Be the Best You Can Be, 9 Things to Think and Act. You know, when I think about that book, Master Glenn, you know, you were
yes. You
were ahead of the time, just because it's so applicable to even things that are happening right now. Power of thoughts, virtue of gratitude, pursuit of happiness, and the doctrine of cycles. You just talked about cycles. And then, of course, being aware, and I love the way you led that right into meditation. And as you said earlier, this evening, in terms of being able to tone down the emotions, to find that stability. But before you can do that, you need to remove the negative thinking and the anger. And that's where that meditation can come in to help clear the way for stability. Because stability and not being angry are not one and the same. They may be in the same realm, but one can lead to the other more so. Being clear of anger can lead to that stability. So, much appreciated. Looking forward to this year of growth and balance, stability, clarity, of course, excellent health and wellness with love and prosperity. We can just gain those things in the light of peace and unity. It would be a good thing. I know that's a big order. But if we start individually, it doesn't seem so insurmountable. Yes, Master Glenn? Talking that on a massive scale, whoa, okay, Jerry, that's chasing a rainbow. But if I were to say, how about if each of us just look at those things I just mentioned on an individual level, now it's not so overwhelming. So you're right. It absolutely starts with each one of us. Master Glenn, thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you.
There's so much we could have talked about, you know, the pranic healing, more into the book. There's so much ahead that we can talk about that you have to offer, but I think you gave us a sense of calm with some details that I think, I believe the listeners will be able to take back and share and will appreciate and ultimately will make a difference. That's the key.
Thank you. Making
a difference. Thank you. Thank you, Master Glenn. Folks, we have been talking with Dr. Master Glenn Mendoza, Master Pranic Healer, spent a significant amount of time with us this evening. Of course, he is the founder of the Center for Pranic Healing. And you can get information on meditation and the things that he's doing and pranic healing at pranichealing.us. And if you can't reach him or get through, just drop me an email to progressivenews@msn.com. So with that, folks, let's just abide in love. I truly believe love will make a way. Love will make a way. That's one of my closing tunes. Let's find it. That may be where I need to go. Love will find a way. There's a few folks that made that. Lionel Richie. Let's do the Lionel Richie version. We'll close on that. Folks, thank you for tuning in to our first program of the year. Folks, I got nothing but love for you. I mean that from the heart. From the heart. And let's just give love to one another. Let's not get caught up. Don't get caught in the rhetoric. I heard some hateful, hateful things about our president. And if you're convinced that he had intent to murder someone, check your heart. Check your heart. And there are those that would have you believe that. And it's just not true. And for someone to try to impose that, you might want to check that source of who would even remotely present that to you. God bless you. God bless your families. Peace and blessings. You've now been deputized to go out and make a difference. Share the neutrality of love. Because love will find a way ultimately. God bless you all. Drop me a line. Let me know what you're thinking. let me know future programs and or guests that we might have on Progressive News. Give me some thoughts. I'm going to switch up, folks. That term progressive has just put a bad taste in my mouth with regard to what I've seen, the so-called progressive. And I told you, and I always said, this is progressive from a literal perspective, not from the political perspective, but it's hard to sever the two. So we're Productive News Weekly. Productive, folks, in a beautiful way, in a good way. You're part of the team, and I thank God for you. Share the wealth of love. God bless until next week. And we'll be talking about Martin Luther King's Day. You know, what would Martin say? Let's contemplate on that while we have a week before we talk again. What would Martin do? You know, there were those that would say, Martin has blood on his hands. And now history has proven itself. Well, I'm not trying to compare Trump to Martin, but let's be careful of the rhetoric. God bless. Don't you worry, love will find a way. Some say we've lost our way. Some say the world has gone astray. But if you know where you're going, there's nothing you can't do. 'Cause problems will come. But the truth